Michael Medved Show. All across America, this is the Michael Medved Show.
21 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. And as promised, it's a great pleasure and honor to welcome back to the show somebody who I consider a friend and a friend of the show. And more importantly and most importantly, a friend of common sense, courage, and clarity in our politics, Lindsey Graham, the senior senator from South Carolina. Senator Graham, great to speak to you always.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction. You are truly a friend, and I hope to be a friend of the show. Thanks for having me.
Oh, what a pleasure. A couple of very quick questions. On the Charlottesville matter, which has gotten so much focus by the press and others, I think you were supportive of the statement that President Trump made yesterday, right?
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was a good statement. Pence was great. I think what the president said yesterday was well said, and now we need to take action. So I hope Jeff Sessions, who's been really good on this issue, will go to Virginia and sort of lead a, you know, a kind of a hammer-like approach to these groups and let Americans know that the Trump administration is going to put the full weight of the law against these groups where appropriate, and actions will speak louder than words.
I know that some people have said on the left and some in the center that the most important step that President Trump could take that would show that he has no sympathy for the alt-right or for neo-Nazis or Ku Klux Klansmen of any kind would be to fire Steve Bannon. I don't think you've taken a position on that, have you, Senator?
No, I've got to know Steve. Some things I agree with, some things I don't. I don't want to label man I barely know a racist. I've had pleasant conversations with him. I think he's a smart guy. The best thing you can do is the Trump administration is to go after the offenders, is to, you know, to prosecute to the fullest extent of law those involved in this horrible killing of this lady and, you know, stay on top of these groups because they are full of hate. So it's actions. It's using the full weight of the law rather than firing a single individual or what you might see on any given day is to show a resolve to hit these groups head on with the full force of the law.
Now, amen to that. I know that this is, of course, a very complicated issue for someone who represents the home of secession in the Palmetto State of South Carolina. What should be the proper response from the Trump administration and from the U.S. Senate regarding continued attempts to take down memorials that seem to glorify the Confederacy?
Well, you know, I do believe in federalism. And at the end of the day, you know, you've got a lot of county courthouses with statues of Confederate soldiers out front. You know, my two great, whatever, how many greats you have to go back, were privates in the Confederacy. One was a prisoner of war. You know, we're not the first country to go through a civil war. And how you reconcile is important. You know, the truth about America, we were founded imperfect. We're still imperfect. The author of the Declaration of Independence was a slave owner and fathered children, so by a slave. At the end of the day, I think we just need to learn from our mistakes and move forward. And you can't rewrite history. We've taken the Confederate battle flag off the Capitol grounds. We've got a monument to African-American history in South Carolina, the suffering and the hope. And, you know, where does it all end, I guess, is what I would say.
Oh, did you feel that the city council in Charlottesville had made the right decision, or is that just a decision you should respect because it was made?
Well, right. You know, it's a decision they felt was right for Charlottesville. And, you know, let's talk about Robert E. Lee for a moment. You know, there's many ways to look at him. He led the Confederate Army to break up the Union. He was offered the command of the Union forces, and he chose his heart was in Virginia. Not a slave owner himself. After the war, I think he provided the healing that was so important. He told Confederate soldiers, lay down your weapons and go home and become great Americans. So, you know, from my point of view, that Robert E. Lee is a historical figure who helped heal a nation so divided. And we all have our opinions about these things, but I'm not telling Charlottesville what to do. You know, if it's best for Charlottesville, that's best for Charlottesville.
In terms of, one doesn't have that kind of luxury when it comes to foreign policy. We only have one foreign policy in the United States.
This is truly the role of the federal government here.
Well, yeah, and it's the role of the president of the United States. I mean, under Article 2,
right.
That's clearly where we have to get our foreign policy, in essence. Is the situation regarding Korea being well handled right now?
I think so. I think the first decision you had to make as president was to whether to continue the policies of the past. It'd be pretty insane, in my view, to continue the rhetoric and the policy choices of the last 25 years, because look what they've gotten you. So I think the president was right to change his rhetoric and his policies. He rejected strategic patience, which is a nice term for doing nothing. And now he has strategic accountability. And the policy is pretty simple. We're not going to allow North Korea the ability to hit the American homeland with a nuclear-tipped ICBM. That's what Kim Jong-un is threatening. We're not going to allow that threat to mature. And as a last resort, we use military force to protect the homeland. I think that is really the right choice. Diplomacy will only work if a credible threat of military force is on the table. In terms of the rhetoric, all the smart people are criticizing President Trump. When you were in charge, how well did you do? So I support the president completely. He's got a great team of national security advisors around him. China is the key. We need to push back against China's manipulation of their currency, intellectual property theft, cyber attacking our nation, destabilizing the South China Sea. But they can help us with North Korea. But here's what I would tell the Chinese. We're not going to allow the missile to be developed to hit America with a nuclear weapon on top. Here are our red lines. We want to work with you. You own North Korea. Economy, there would be no nuclear North Korea without a compliant China, and just start holding them accountable and let them know that if any red lines are crossed by North Korea, all gloves are off.
About the perception, and I think it's a perception that I'm the only one who's noticed. You've gone from being one of the strongest critics of President Trump to a much more supportive tone. What's changed?
Well, I'm trying to recognize the fact that he won the election, beat me and beat everybody else, and honor his election. I do push back when I think he's wrong. I push back hard on Russia. It dumbfounds me the way he talks about Russia. I'm glad he signed the sanctions bill, but he didn't have much of a choice. I was critical of the statement in Charlottesville. I think he missed an opportunity. He finally got it right. At the end of the day, I want to be a equal branch of the government. I think the Senate has a role in foreign policy, but my goal is to help the president where I can, because I think I owe it to him and the country. I think he's right about North Korea. I think he's right about trying to get a better deal with the Iranians and the threat the Iranian regime presents to the Mideast and the world at large. I'm very worried about what he may do in Afghanistan. I tell you this, if he doesn't reinforce our troop presence, and he continues the Obama model of withdrawing our forces, Afghanistan will fall apart quicker than Iraq, and terrorists will begin to infiltrate Afghanistan, and another 9/11 is very possible. It'd be the worst decision he could make.
And we need to go to a break. Speaking with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina here on The Medved Show. Right back.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Four minutes past the hour on the Michael Medved Show. As promised, right back with Lindsey Graham, the senior senator from North Carolina. So much to talk about. We were talking before about what has been a more consistent support from Senator Graham for President Trump's handling of his agenda. And you were just talking about foreign policy. I also want to go to the key issue of health care, where you have your own, I think, outstanding ideas
right.
that I want to get to. But you want to finish the thought about the president and foreign policy.
Sure. Well, number one, I think he's got the right approach to North Korea, and I've got his back, because we can never allow the regime in North Korea to hit the homeland with a nuclear-tipped missile and military force is an option as the last resort. I think he's got Iran right. We need to get a better deal with Iran. The money they've got from the Obama deal, sanctions relief, is going into their war machine.
Yeah, they're now increasing their payments on defense, on offense it's in their case.
It's the dumbest deal since Munich with Hitler. I mean, it's just crazy. To expect the Ayatollah to change based on hope was ridiculous. He's taken that $150 billion. He's put it in his war machine. He's toppled four Arab capitals. Here's where I worry about President Trump, Syria. You know, Obama basically gave Assad a pass, which means you're giving Damascus to the Iranians. I'd like to see some approach to push Assad out, or to have an approach saying that Assad's an unacceptable leader. It's not enough to destroy ISIL in Syria. You've got to deal with the cancer in Syria, which is the Iranian-backed Assad. The Arabs are not going to accept that. The Syrian people are not going to accept Assad as their leader in Afghanistan. If you play around with the idea of withdrawing from Afghanistan, you're setting up a second 9/11. Nobody will help us in the future. All those girls that were educated and have a brighter future because of our involvement, only God knows what happens to them. So I hope he'll listen to his generals. And General Obama was a terrible general, and I don't think General Graham of Trump would be much better. Listen to your generals on health care. He's right to be all over Republicans. We promised for 7 years, Michael, to repeal and replace Obamacare, and now we're just standing around like deers in headlights. I've got an idea I think will work. Take all the money we just spent on Obamacare, block grant it back to the states. Under Obamacare, four states get 40% of the money: New York, California, Massachusetts, and Maryland. Do away with the individual mandate requirement, the employer mandate requirement, the medical device tax, and take the rest of the money, block grant it. And by 2026, every patient in every state gets the same contribution from the federal government with more flexibility. That's what we should have led off with. It's called federalism.
And according to your bill, I know you've put this together with Senator Cassidy of Louisiana, who is
terrific.
A physician.
And Rick Santorum has been very good.
Oh, really? Terrific. I'm glad that Senator Santorum helped with this.
You know, I had a bill to opt out of Obamacare, and Rick said, why don't you just do what we did with welfare reform and block grant the money? And the block grant approach is so elegant. It works. It gives more parity in terms of funding, more flexibility, more control. I know who you can complain to about a block grant approach. It's your local state house and governor versus some bureaucrat in Washington you'll never meet under Obamacare.
By the way, do you know that one of your colleagues has recently highlighted welfare reform as one of the great crimes of the 20th century? Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, in her role, that's true. And in her view of the world, it is a crime to not just write unlimited checks to people.
Right.
In my world, it's okay to help people up. All of us are one car wreck away from needing help. Health care, we could all lose our jobs. But the goal is to get you up on your feet. What did we do with welfare reform? We required you to look for a job. We stopped paying people to have more children out of wedlock. And guess what? More people became married. You had less out of wedlock births because the federal government incentivized it. We asked people to look for jobs as a requirement to receive money. 50% reduction in welfare rolls, it actually worked.
And it's one of those illustrations for people who say that government can't do anything or that reform is impossible. Go back to August of 1996 and take a look at what folks like you accomplished. And may you continue that level of accomplishment, Senator. Tax reform, do you think there's any chance before the end of the year?
Yes, but the savings, what we do with block granting money back to the states for health care is in the eighth year of the block grant, we begin to control the growth of traditional Medicaid in the second block grant to make both programs more sustainable. Medicaid's going to be a $1 trillion obligation of the federal government if you don't slow down the growth. We continue to grow, but we slow it down to make it more sustainable. Tax cuts. Lower the corporate rate because we're one of the highest in the world. Consolidate individual rates from 6 to 3. Try to take some deductions out of the tax code that are for the few against the many. What I'd like to see done away with is that state and local taxes are deducted on your federal income tax form. That means that South Carolina is basically subsidizing very high-tax blue states.
No, that's exactly right. And it's wrong to steal money from South Carolina to finance a spendthrifty state governments in New York and California. Senator Lindsey Graham, bless you and continue speaking the truth to power and everybody else who might want to listen.
Well, Senator, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.